Chapter 25. Belosus was waiting for them as they climbed through the hole in the door. He grabbed Ordus and wrenched her away from Isola. Ordus was barely conscious. One side of her head was slick with blood, and there was an ugly wound just below her ear. Blood was rushing down her neck, and her face was a ghastly grey colour. Isola was not about to abandon their pilot so easily, but before she could react, the guardsmen began hauling themselves through the hole in the door, reaching out for their prey with gargled, incoherent cries. Vaughn fired again, ripping them apart with more flames. Isola staggered back from the door, shielding her face from the heat, feeling the hairs on her skin shriveling and burning. The more the guardsmen tried to break in, the more flame Vaughn poured into the hole, until the door was jammed with blackened, charred flesh. The guardsmen were still clawing and pounding on the other side, but for the moment, they were halted. Isola and the others all turned to face the devastation that was being wrought around them. They had emerged onto a long, flat platform suspended above the chamber. It was sheltered by a roof, but beyond that, the air was filled with spinning fragments of wall and floor. If Isola hadn't known she was in a star fort, she would have thought she was witnessing an earthquake. Belosus still had hold of Ordus, but he was too dazed by the ruin that surrounded them to think of his prize. The pilot was dangling, insensate, from his meaty fist. Isola saw a chance to snatch her back, but Ordus was one step ahead. Ordus stood, quite calmly, and fired, blasting Belosus from the outcrop and sending him plunging into the carnage below, blood spraying from a hole in his chest. "If in doubt, play dead," she said with a grim laugh, glancing at Isola. Isola was stunned. She'd thought Ordus was unconscious, but it was a feint. She'd just been biding her time until she could kill her pursuer. She nodded in respect. Ordus shrugged. "If the dumb bastard hadn't been so obsessed with me, he could have left this place rich." Thaddeus did not even notice. He staggered ahead of them down the walkway, shaking his head and whispering prayers of thanks. "This is what I saw," he muttered. "This is what I saw." He turned to face them, tears glinting in his eyes. "Enter the light." Isola followed, ducking and flinching as great tides of architecture toppled and fell. There was another noise, beneath the tearing of columns and walls, a crackling, humming sound emanating from the sphere of light. It sounded like they were trapped inside a vast generator. "How?" she asked. "How would we get across there?" Everywhere she looked, the floor was splitting and shearing. There was a deep crevasse at the centre of the hill, with a channel of black oil rushing through it, but even that was being shattered and smashed, spraying ink-dark geysers up into the whirling dust clouds. As Isola stared in wonder at the destruction, she saw two distant figures staggering through the rubble, rushing towards the ball of light. They were silhouetted by the glare, but there was no mistaking Corval's star-shaped helmet. She stared harder, trying to identify the other figure. It seemed too ragged and hunched to be the captain, but then she gasped as she saw that he was clutching a rapier. "Drake!" she cried, pointing to the two figures. "It can't be," gasped Ordus, rushing to her side and peering through the dust clouds. "Throne, it is," she muttered, shaking her head in disbelief. "They really did survive." Behind them, the guardsmen were still pummeling the doorway. Vaughn fired again, melting more of the blackened lumps like she was cauterizing a wound. "Burn!" she howled, the fire blazing in her streaming eyes.
"How do we get down?"
cried Thaddeus, peering over the side of the walkway. Isola rushed to the end and looked down over the edge.
"Steps!"
she called.
"Steps!"
she called, waving the others over and starting to climb down into the shifting rocks.
"Are you insane?"
cried Ordus, looking at the forest of black towers that was falling across all the chambers. Isola waved at the scorched door behind them.
"What choice do we have?"
Then she paused to look at the wound on the side of Ordus's head.
"You should bind that."
Ordus shrugged. If I live long enough to bleed to death, we'll have done well. The combination of Ordis's deadpan tone and the savage destruction taking place below dragged an unexpected laugh from Isola. Ordis looked back at her, surprised, then laughed too. Then Thaddeus and Vaughn clambered over the ledge, and the four of them began climbing down. They reached the floor, and Thaddeus led the way again, picking out a route through the mayhem. They were halfway across the hall when smaller explosions started kicking up around them. Isola snatched a look back and saw that the guardsmen had appeared on the walkway and were firing. More were stumbling into view, and some were already starting to climb down the steps.
"This way!"
cried Thaddeus, leaping over a crevice and scrambling up the side of a fallen archway. It was only as they approached the sphere of light that Isola realized just how vast it was. It loomed over them like the prow of a void ship, hundreds of feet tall and simmering with power. The noise was ear-splitting, and currents of energy rippled through her uniform. Then, with a cry of delight, she saw the two figures just up ahead, standing at the foot of the sphere. Her elation faded as she saw what had become of Drake. He looked like one of the undead guardsmen. His usually immaculate uniform was in tatters, ripped and burned, and revealing the ruin that had been wrought on his body. He was covered in blood and scars, and there were terrible burn marks all over him. His face was corpse grey and gaunt, as though he had somehow starved in the few hours since she last saw him.
"Captain!"
she cried, running towards him. Drake and Corval turned, hearing her determined cry, even over the roar of the sphere. Drake was swaying unsteady on his feet, and his usual aura of cool self-possession had been replaced with a feral snarl. At the sight of Isola, his face became even more contorted, and he raised his pistol, taking aim at her head.
"Father!" he cried as he pulled the trigger. "You lied!"